Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, trusting that you are learning of the faithfulness of the Lord. If you have found yourself in dire straits and life is a challenge to you, rejoice in this, that you have an opportunity to learn of the goodness of the Lord. There are many who do not know of this, and they boast that they are full. Whereas those who have none or little of this world's goods and are relying on the Lord, such people are truly the ones who are full. Those who have much of this world's goods can be robbed of their joy of living because they are afraid that someone is going to take from them that which they do have, or that they don't have as much as another person does have. And so they don't enjoy that which they do have. But if you are serving the Lord today and you are concerned with the things of tomorrow, now wait a minute, I'm not talking about worrying about tomorrow. I'm talking about if you're concerned about laying up for yourself treasures in heaven, which means, of course, that you're not looking for the present world's system to bring pleasure or bring joy into your life, but you're looking for the Lord above to return, to come for you. I had a man some time ago to talk with me and saying it this way, that we Christians are just trying to skip through life and avoid the hole that is dug for us. Well, we are looking for that certain appearing. We're looking for the Lord to return. That's what we're looking for. We're not trying to evade anything, hopefully. We're looking for the Lord, and we're trusting in Him. We're resting upon His promise, counting on His promise. Not to say that, Lord, you've got to come through if you don't. Well, we do, in a sense, realize that if the Lord doesn't work, then we are of all people most miserable. But He is coming back. He is going to return. I know that because the peace that He brought to my own heart when I asked Him to save me. But above all, I place my faith in His written word, which has revealed His will to me, and I know how I am to approach Him. And that is what the Christian has, is that we know the mind of God about this sinful world. We know the mind of God about us. We know the mind of God about the future. And so that ought to bring great hope to us, that we are able to look to the Lord and to know that God, our Lord and our Savior, is going to come back. And so we look to Him, and we have this great hope, this certain hope, and this very definite hope, that we know that that which the Lord has given to us, He will keep. It is better than putting things in the bank. Banks have been robbed before. Safe deposit boxes have been robbed before, or things have been stolen from them. Say, oh, no, that can't be. Of course this has happened. A man cannot come up with a perfect system. If it's done only by the person who has a way of getting at these items and is supposed to be guarding them, a man has a system that has a loop, a hole in it that others can crawl through. But if you would have things to be safe, then you must give it to the hands of the Lord. Give it into His hands. He is the all-powerful God, and He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name for the blessings of the Lord upon the message today. And I do ask for Thy power, Lord, that this message will be used of Thee to minister unto hearts, and that the Lord our God will be honored and glorified. The message will be plain in the way clear, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 25, we have seen that Abraham marries again after Sarah dies. He'd been married to Sarah for about 110 years or so. That was a guess that I came up with. But Sarah was 127 when she died. And Abraham is going to live to be 175 when he dies. And so now Abraham has another family. And he has six sons by one Keturah. And then it says in verse 6, that but unto the sons of the concubines. So was, are there others? So there were concubines that Abraham had. There are six children mentioned by these. Now, Hagar, of course, was one born by Ishmael. And Keturah being the other, she was his wife, for his first wife, Sarah, had departed this life. And so are there others that the Lord does not record for us? But he had at least six sons by Keturah, one by Hagar, and one by his wife, Sarah. So these eight sons. But the first born is Isaac, because Isaac was born as of the seed of the promise unto him. And he gave gift, money, gold, and silver, of which he had plenty. He gave this unto the sons of Keturah, and he sent them away from his son Isaac. Now, these sons by Abraham and Keturah were Gentiles. The son born to Abraham by Hagar was a Gentile. But the son born to Abraham by Isaac was a Jew. And these were with him for a while, but he sent them away from his son. And then the next thing we see in this portion of Scripture, the length of Abraham's days. In verse 7, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, an hundred threescore, 100 years, threescore is 60, and then 60 plus 15, that's 75. So he was 175 years old when he died. The Scriptures give to us an account. Now notice this about Abraham. He was 75 years old when he left the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, when he left the land between the rivers. When he was called of God to go out, he was 75 years old. And his son, Jacob, grandsons rather, about this time, these boys, Isaac was around 75, because remember, Isaac was 100, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And so Jacob and Esau, now remember, Isaac was married at the age of 60, or when he was married at the age of 40, and he had twins at the age of 60. So these boys are 15 years old. These twins are 15 years old when Abraham dies. So Jacob and Esau had a chance to see Abraham. And then Ishmael, who was, when Ishmael was born, Abraham was around 89 years old. 86 or 89 or so. And so now Ishmael is able to see his father at this point. And Abraham, 75 years old when he left the land. So he was able to travel and see the blessings of the Lord longer than he had lived with his fathers in the land of his fathers. He lived longer obeying the Lord and following the Lord than he had lived prior to setting out to please the Lord. His life was abundant and full and free and rich when he left his fathers, where they worshiped the moon gods. And here's a scripture now, of course, found in the book of Genesis 25:7. How old Abraham was, 25:6-7. How old he was. In verse 8, Abraham gave up the ghost. Now, anyone who says that man is just like an animal and he has nothing else, the scriptures say He gave up the ghost when he died. What does that mean? He was in good old age, and it was that his body just simply wore out. And if we keep patching up this body, keep patching it up and patching it up, it's going to wear out. And we want to live as long as we can, but the body will wear out. It fell under those conditions when Adam sinned in the garden. And the scriptures say that he died in a good old age, an old man. You know, I don't know what kind of condition his health was in. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be in an accident to die. The body wears out. And the scriptures say that he was full of years, quite a long in life. And I read in an article a few days ago of a woman, I think she was 109 years old. I preached the funeral of a woman that was 107, and she'd outlived everybody in her family except a great-nephew, a great-great-nephew. And at the funeral, this man was there, his wife, and I think a couple of their children at this funeral, a 107-year-old woman. Now, still the body is going, but Abraham was gathered to his people. We closed on that note on the previous broadcast, that he did not go out into an open space alone. He went to his own people. Now, notice the word people indicates that there were others who were gone before him, others of the Lord's people. See, there is a gathering place for those who leave this life. You do not go out and float around and just bother people and watch over people. And I want you to know that, because there are people who feel like, well, listen, when dear Aunt such and such left this life, she stayed around and made sure that such and such a person was well taken care of. That's not true. The Bible doesn't back up any kind of thinking like that. And then there are those who say that when a person dies, they go to become an angel. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. All that we know that goes on in the other side of the world, in the other world, which we cannot see, we know from the Bible. And you don't have people in the other world speaking back to us here. They don't do that. The Bible doesn't teach that. There was an occasion in the scriptures in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28. This is an occasion in which it does happen. But you won't get this to happen today. The Lord has said there's a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed. When Abraham was gathered unto his own people, you see, Sarah was his only loved one that had died, and he had lived with her for many years, and she had gone on ahead of him. And now the man Abraham has died. And this is believed to have happened in 1821 B.C., 1821 years before Christ. That's when Abraham lived. That's when he died. Long ahead, long time ago. But he was gathered to his people. And we shall too one day, Lord tarrying, be gathered to our people. Who's your people? Heavenly Father, we pray thee to bless this message today. Make hearts ready and sensitive to thy truth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Join us again. I'm Willie Thompson.